Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
You imbecile, you bloated idiot, you stupid fathead, you...
Holy cow, you need to get a grip. And I'm not bloated, I'm big boned, so there. Listen, we're back with part two of my fascinating discussion with the amazing Deborah Christina Darling. Deborah self-describes as a straight drag queen, don't you know? So you can be certain that she's going to be dishing out a hefty dose of attitude with her point of view. Deborah is here as part of my Sex Education podcast series, where we look at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative sexual lifestyles. We chat with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. If you somehow missed part one of this uninhibited conversation, look for podcast number 135 on my podcast page. You'll find a tab for that page at the top of drdicksexadvice.com. Or you can use my site's search function. Simply type in podcast number 135 and presto! But don't forget the pound sign. Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up my how-to video library. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and also informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that?
What's wire hangers doing in this closet when I told you no wire hangers ever?
Maybe we can discuss your problems a little bit later, ma'am. Right now, on with the show.
Welcome back, Deborah, and thank you again for joining us. You look fabulous again this week.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here again.
Good. So let's right away pick up where we left off last week, and we were talking, obviously, about cross-dressing, and I want to talk about women's clothing, at least in Western societies, and how women's clothing in our society is fetishized. Much more so, it seems to me, than men's clothing. Nylons, high heels, bras, panties, thongs. What's up with this, do you suppose?
I think men like women's clothes.
Well, we design a great deal of them, do we not?
Well, yeah, but sometimes I think the men who do that hate women.
Ah.
But, yeah, I think men like women's clothes. They associate them with women as sexual objects.
Mm-hmm.
And the transference is easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a fetish until it becomes the point where you prefer the shoes to the woman,
mm-hmm.
But you like the woman in the shoes.
Right.
And frankly, women's clothes are designed to emphasize the sexual aspects of a woman's body.
Right.
I mean, right. They are meant to show off breasts, cleavage. They're meant to show off curves. Heels make the legs look longer.
Mm-hmm.
They tighten the muscles. They make them look better.
Yeah.
They improve the shape. They slow a woman down so that even a fat guy can catch her. tight skirts, the same thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a power issue going on there.
Right.
And I don't find that surprising at all.
So do you know any women who wear jock straps?
I'm sure I do. But you know, I've never really looked under their skirts to find out.
Right. Listen, it must be difficult. I mean, if you don't have the classic women's figure, to find good women's clothes that would fit a male body?
Actually, yes. There are some, and they're not very well known nor very well publicized, but some companies that actually do make things like women's heels to men's shoe sizes.
Yeah, like 13s.
Well, not just the size. Not just the size.
Right,
there are other differences. Or make women's clothes that are designed for a male body.
Right.
But
they don't advertise that.
They don't, and they're few and far between. I found the easiest thing to do, because their women's clothes come in such a variety of shapes and sizes and styles that it actually is possible to find things that fit.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is to learn how, and probably, in my experience, the easiest way is to go to Nordstrom's, hand the personal shopper your credit card, and say, do me.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
And you will walk out with a spectacular wardrobe.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
I saw that repressed, you know, dress your little boy, and
it could be. It's like playing with dolls,
right.
Only the doll's bigger than you are.
Oh, that's so true. And then there's, of course, the trappings of femininity, like makeup and hairdos, for example. That's got to be not only way fun, but a turn-on, too.
Oh, I think it is. It's a huge amount of work.
Yes.
It's a lot of money involved. Guys learn what women do for maintenance,
mm-hmm.
because it takes a long time to cross-dress from scratch, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about a beauty parlor,
uh-huh.
a beauty salon, a nail salon, whatever. Guys, go get a pedicure done. As a guy, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be amazed how you feel afterwards, because those people are trained not only in how to do whatever it is they're doing, but how to make the person they're being done to feel really, really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully understand, because even me, well, I've walked into a beauty salon, I've had my hair done, I've had my nails done, I've had a makeover. And by the time you leave, they have convinced you that you are the most beautiful creature that ever walked in the, out the door,
mm.
regardless of what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
They are so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody needs to be pampered that way,
right.
a little bit.
Right. There seems to be, at least from what I know about cross-dressing, there are men cross-dressing to look like women or into women's clothing. There are some that do it for fun and want to do it and be silly and, you know, gender bend and all that. And then there are the others who really, really want to pass. That they want to be as feminized as they possibly can get. What's the difference there, do you suppose?
I think it's partly motivation.
Uh-huh.
The ones who want to pass really believe to one extent or another that they should have been a woman.
I see.
Now, maybe they're not to the point where they will transition or acknowledge they're transsexual,
mm-hmm.
but when they dress like a woman, they don't want to be noticed. They just want to be another woman in
mm-hmm.
the crowd and
mm-hmm.
accepted as such.
Mm-hmm.
My
practice a lot of feminine seductions and all of that kind of, I mean, they it's a bigger thing than just donning the clothes. They want to express themselves.
Yes.
Right.
And the woman that is there somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, these people may in fact be both male and female.
Yes.
For all I know. I
yes.
think they are, in fact.
Yeah.
That there's two people there.
Yeah.
Or two personalities. And then there's the rest of us. My attitude is, you know, I'm never going to achieve that anyway, so trying is fruitless.
Yeah.
And besides which, who wants to be just another frumpy woman?
Right.
Which is what most of us turn out to be when we do that.
Right.
We can, some can pass.
Yeah.
Or at least alone. Three together can never pass.
Right.
But my answer is always why?
Yeah.
I have a lot more fun being a Deborah.
Yeah.
Out there.
Uh-huh.
And being interesting to people
uh-huh.
than I ever would just being another female in the crowd.
Right. How did you come upon Deborah as opposed to Blanche or Louise?
It's a combination of a couple things. The whole name is Deborah Darling, Deborah Christina Darling.
Oh, get out.
And the Deborah came from a woman I met whom I happened to admire a great deal, her presentation, and, you know, tended to model some of what I do after her. The Darling is a triple play on words having to do with Mary Martin and Peter Pan and the Darling family and the fact that that is cross-dressing and nobody ever notices and the fact that I refuse to grow up.
Cool. What's the difference between your garden variety cross-dresser and a drag queen?
Attitude. Totally. A drag queen is all about attitude. It's not about the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
The clothes may be gorgeous, probably are,
mm-hmm.
probably expensive, and probably more than she can afford.
Right.
But it's the attitude.
Uh-huh.
Drag queen walks in the room, don't mess with her.
That's so true. And they've always been on the front lines of the gay rights movement, always.
Oh, yeah. They started the whole damn thing.
It's so true.
I'm not sure it was important or intended, but I mean, you know, the gay community does recognize that the whole thing started in a really run-down, cheap bar in New York that you wouldn't order anything in unless it came in a bottle with a top on it. And finally,
mafia owned.
Finally, the drag queens got mad at the cops for being hassled, and somebody threw a shoe,
yeah,
a high heel at that. You know, the war was on.
Yeah, God love them. You know, I used to see Charles Pierce a lot when I lived in San Francisco.
Charles.
The first time I saw him, he was appearing in some gay dive club. And the last time I saw him, he was the headliner at the Venetian Room in the legendary Fairmont Hotel on Nob Hill. What a difference a few years made. He famously quipped that the Venetian Room looked like the men's room in the Vatican.
Well, the Pope does wear a long robe and
that's right.
Ruby red slippers, you know.
You know, I was a Catholic priest for 20 years, and one of the things that appealed to me so much was the outfits. They were fabulous. I mean, who could get away with, you know, walking around town in watered silk?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, siree. Is there a difference between a drag queen and a female impersonator?
Yeah, I think there is. A female impersonator is basically doing a show on stage.
I see.
A drag queen may not be on stage.
Definitely, except in your mind.
Definitely doing a show wherever they are. But it's not it's not the same kind of entertainment.
Right. Yeah. It's not choreographed. It's not a formal kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Although every drag queen I know is constantly on stage, even when they're not in drag.
Well, you're right. You're right about that. But you know, it's the same thing. It's attitude.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned Charles Pierce. And the difference today between what's attainable if you want and you're good. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Exactly.
Opened in London.
Mm-hmm.
It's been extended
mm-hmm.
past its one-year run.
Mm-hmm.
It may open in Toronto late this year.
Mm-hmm.
Huge difference
mm-hmm.
from that, what might have been a drag show 20 years
exactly.
before that.
Thank you, ABBA.
Thank you, ABBA. RuPaul.
Exactly.
Who is wealthy.
Absolutely.
As a result of drag.
Yeah.
Ellen
DeGeneres, the other way around.
Yes, you've done a very good job of coming out.
And only dresses in male
mm-hmm.
kind of oriented clothes, even for her wedding. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair to speculate then that female impersonators dress to entertain transsexuals believe that they are entrapped in the body of the opposite sex and seek sexual reassignment surgery?
Oh, yes. I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
The crossover, too, still exists. Transsexuals, once you begin the process, have a huge issue trying to accomplish a transition and pay for it.
Right.
You know, when you set out and we tell them, you know, look, this is going to be very painful. In most cases, you're going to lose your gender identity. Your body will change painfully. You'll lose most of your friends. You'll have to go make new ones. You may very well lose your job
mm-hmm.
at some point in the process, even after it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see your income level change. You're going to see your status in society change. And if you're still going to do that, more power to you, but society's not going to pay for it.
Right.
There are very few medical plans that cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And so how are you going to do that?
Right.
Well, some of them are talented.
Yeah.
As well as pretty. And so they gravitate to the stage
mm-hmm.
as a way of paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you may well find a transsexual who is being a female impersonator. And, you know, one of the things that's doing, unfortunately, in my opinion, is denigrating the art of female impersonation. Because after you've got the doctor has done your cheekbones and your thorax and your boobs, anybody could impersonate a woman. Come on.
Exactly.
You know, what's a big deal? I'm sorry. You know, you're a male. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I don't want you to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Pierce was a whole different can of worms.
That's right. Literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another phenomenon that seems to be very present in our society today, and that is the pre-surgical transsexuals. And these are women who have the breast augmentation and other kinds of surgeries, but leave their male genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are called chicks with dicks. And then there's a famous, a friend of mine actually, porn star called Buck Angel, who is, he goes by the moniker a man with a pussy, because he's a female to male transsexual. But he kept the pussy part.
Hmm. And then we have the one down in Oregon or California. Who just gave birth again.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There are so many variables in the human
right.
mind. I really don't know where you go with that. But let's go back to your first introduction to that concept.
Uh-huh.
We in our community, with the transsexual, I shouldn't say that, the transsexual community defines a number of different kinds of states of being.
Right.
A post-operative transsexual, a pre-operative transsexual, and a non-operative transsexual are the primary ones.
Right, right, right.
And I know people who fit in all categories.
Right.
One of our charming, no, Virginia was never charming.
One
of our early leaders was Virginia Prince, who started an organization called Tri-S. Whom absolutely nobody could get along with. And Virginia wound up in the home, eventually, as we all probably will. Virginia had lived the last 30 or 40 years of her life as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia never had any surgeries at all of any kind.
Right.
And she lived in the home as a woman.
Wow.
And God help her, she lived in the home as a woman in fear of being found out.
Right.
And Virginia died last month.
Finally. Wow. Goodness. Goodness, goodness.
But, you know, that's a whole category of people.
Yeah.
Are you more or less of a woman if you have the surgeries? I don't know. Are you less of a woman if you have two radical mastectomies?
No, I don't know. Interesting questions. I've heard it been said that cross-dressing is more a matter of personality than sexuality. And for many, the desire to cross-dress becomes part of the self, just as musicians need to play music, writers need to write, ball players need to play ball. Do you agree that cross-dressers need to cross-dress?
I think some do. I think most of them do.
Mm-hmm. Would you put yourself in that category?
I'm finding that out.
Uh-huh.
Yes, there is. When I was younger, and began cross-dressing, and then began cross-dressing actively after military. I found that, looking back, I had been engaging in what I would define as destructive behavior.
Ah, interesting.
And that went away as a result of the cross-dressing.
Ah.
So there was some connection there of some kind. There was some need that wasn't being filled.
Mm-hmm.
That was demanding attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the cross-dressing took care of it.
So it's therapeutic in some respects for you, yes?
For me, yeah. And then I decided earlier this year that I probably was going to quit, much to the chagrin of just about everybody that I know.
I guess.
And actually, the pressure not to quit is causing more problems than anything else
uh-huh.
in the process. But today, when I dress, and I have done this before, I say, why am I doing this? You know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of trouble, it's a lot of nonsense. And then I slip on a pair of heels, which is the key
mm-hmm.
item for me, and I feel this just endorphins just
mm-hmm.
run through
right.
my body. You know, you
right.
can just feel the,
wow.
the sheet go down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know for sure. If you can pull that off,
mm-hmm.
if I can just do it for special occasions, or if I will find that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But what motivated me was I simply one evening stood up in an audience in a theater and realized that every inch of me hurt.
Mm.
And you know what? Heels don't help.
No, it's
and
so
I
true.
Won't do it if I can't wear heels.
Yeah, so true.
So we're going to find out. Ask me in a year, and I'll tell you the answer
huh.
to your question.
Huh.
But I will tell you that I believe that many, for many people, it is compulsive,
mm-hmm.
and for many people, it is beneficially compulsive.
Right. I also know that from my association with drag queens mostly, but cross-dressers as well, is that as they cross-dress, as they begin to cross-dress, they change. I mean, you can see a physical the way they hold themselves, the way they present themselves, the way they talk, the way they move their head, they are becoming something. It's not just donning the clothes. They are actually mm-hmm. liberating something inside. Yes?
Yes, and it is very, very challenging when you're going back and forth.
Right.
Part of my job takes me to cities around the country, and I get toured
mm-hmm.
around the cities, which is wonderful. And somebody once said, you know, you're the only person I know who actually gets in and out of a car the way you're supposed to.
Every single time, no matter who you are.
And I'm going, oops. Yeah, because if you're wearing a skirt and a pair of heels, there is a way to get in and out of the car without displaying everything that is you to the world. Now, sometimes you want to do that.
Yes.
You know, I have exited the back seat of a Jeep Cherokee and stopped traffic, but that was on purpose. But, you know, most of the time you really don't want to do that. And it carried over,
mm-hmm.
and I hadn't realized that it had. So you do sometimes have to be a little careful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
do you
adopt the mannerisms, because partly because it's expected and partly because it cuts down on the attention that you attract.
Right.
And just partly because it's practical.
Mm-hmm. Right. Can cross-dressing be cured? And I'm going to use air quotes here, because I'm not thinking that it's automatically a pathology.
You're right. If it is a pathology, can it be cured? I suppose so. I hope so, because pathologies are not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
If it is driven by someone who is just transsexual, no, you can't cure it. All you can do is bring congruency.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to, again, in our community, we ask each other a lot of these questions. And one of them is, if there was a pill that you could take that would keep you from cross-dressing, would you take it?
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who are a bit cynical about the whole thing say, well, there already is one. It's estrogen.
Uh-huh.
Because if you take the average transsexual and fill them full of estrogen, they'll stop wearing dresses. They'll stop wearing high heels.
Is that right?
They dress in tennis shoes and jeans and sweatshirts.
Just like a dyke.
Yeah. Yeah. And you seldom see them in a dress.
Wow.
And so we kid about it. But though that group you can't cure. The other group, the big chunk in the middle, I don't know, because like I said, it is a compulsion. It is often a beneficial compulsion. In my case, it was an outlet for something.
Yes.
That was A, destructive, and B, could have become paraphilia, a pathological problem, had it gone on. So to me, it was beneficial. Mm-hmm. And I would say curing that person would be extremely detrimental to their well-being.
Right.
Can you teach them not to do it? Oh, yeah. You can teach anybody to do anything.
Right.
Enough electricity.
Right. Oh, so true.
And enough pain, and you can convince somebody they shouldn't do that. I have cross-dressed in the jungle in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Was that a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not.
Mm.
But the compulsion was there.
I cross-dressed for the first time in 1963 in the seminary. I was 13, and it was Halloween, and I happened to come across a trunk full of female clothing, what it was doing in the Catholic seminary beyond me. But I donned a girl's dress, and, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it was gender fuck. I didn't, you know, didn't have access to makeup mm-hmm. or anything like that. It was a fun, silly kind of thing. And I walked into the dining room where the party, the Halloween party was being held, in this dress, and stopped everyone in their tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They were horrified. And here were all these other priests, or priests, in their cassocks, you know, basically mm-hmm. drag, religious drag. And I couldn't figure out why this was such a big deal. But I was made to leave immediately and to change my clothes.
Well, I cross-dressed twice in the military in this country. Both times Halloween parties, both times at the officers' club
mm-hmm.
at a major military installation. And the first time, you know, it was fine. The second time, it was still fine. But the second time, I opted to go as a hooker.
Ah.
And I was much younger and much thinner and had a pretty damn good figure, actually. And finally, through the evening, my wife came up to me at one point and she said, how's it going? I said, going is the problem. I don't care, go in the men's room. Do you want to stand guard outside the ladies' room for a minute? She's going, why? I said, because every time I go in there, I get somebody's hand up my ass.
Oh, no kidding.
And they weren't playing on the skirt either. They were underneath it.
Whoa.
And totally. I said, you know, it was an interesting experience all the way around. Mm. But, you know, in that context, it could be accepted.
Right.
And it was.
Yeah.
Never had any problems with the military over it.
Yeah.
Because
it was a joke. It was Halloween. I mean, we can bracket off almost anything for a day.
But if you do it twice, it's not a joke anymore.
Yeah. How does one come out as a cross-dresser to his wife?
Oh, usually by accident.
Is that right?
Yeah. Most people hide it. They hide it pretty deeply, and the wife finds out about it by discovering something. Article of clothing. I mean, you got to put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the best way for it to happen.
Right.
Because then she doesn't know what's going on, and she feels threatened, and she feels cheated, and she feels attacked.
Lied to.
All of those things. But it's very difficult to tell in the beginning, and we counsel all the people that we meet, all the cross-dressers. Tell your wife. Be honest with her.
Right.
Because what she thinks is going on is a lot worse than what's really going on.
Yeah. I used to see that a lot in my practice, too, where women would bring their husbands in thinking that accusing him of having an affair because of lipstick stains and whatnot, and it was only after some period of time together that he was able to be honest and say, it's no affair, that's my lipstick.
Well, there's the old joke about two golfing buddies. One said, George, as they were getting ready to shower after a game, when did you start wearing a girdle and panties? And he said, right after my wife found him in the glove compartment.
Exactly.
And that's, which is the worst?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, cheating is worse than cross-dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Our experience has been that cross-dressing will not, by itself, break up a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's often the excuse for a relationship that was already had problems.
Right.
And it becomes a huge issue at that point.
Yeah.
But actually breaking it up, no, we know many, many, many very happily married cross-dressers.
Right.
Who are honest with their spouses.
Right. So honest communication is vital then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, and I suspect that once a wife or a partner realizes that her mate isn't leaving her for another man, or a new life as a woman, or taking the risks that could destroy their life financially or their family, that the two of them can seek a balanced solution that suits their own unique needs and circumstances. Is that correct?
They can if they want to.
Yeah.
They have to want to.
Right.
Both of them have to enter that part of the relationship the same way they did any other part of marriage. It's a give and take.
Uh-huh.
If he's going to insist that he's going to come home after work and get all dolled up and wander around the house in the evening and then take off the clothes and put on a nightgown and crawl into bed, and they're going to make love like that, and she doesn't want to,
yeah,
that ain't going to work.
Yeah.
So each couple establishes their own set of boundaries,
yeah,
their own set of rules,
yeah,
and it can work.
Yeah. And just because the wife or girlfriend doesn't allow it to happen all the time doesn't necessarily mean that she's not supportive. She's just creating some boundaries.
Right.
Right. How does a cross-dresser come out to his children?
Well, that gets really interesting. We've seen them come out. We've seen them raise children in cross-gendered households. So the child is exposed to it from the beginning. That poses a problem, I think, because you're asking a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old, usually, to keep a secret.
Yeah.
And that's really a difficult thing to do,
right,
because John doesn't want to do it to start with, doesn't understand why, and starts to feel guilty about it.
Right.
I've had others come out to their teen children, some successfully, some not. Again, I think it depends on the strength of the relationship to start with.
Right.
Had one lovely transsexual who, well, I have one friend who transitioned, so obviously her children knew, and they were teenagers. And she told me the story of she was shopping with her daughter in Macy's, in fact, and they had been trying on party dresses, the two of them, and they went into the third floor ladies' room at Macy's, which is one of the 5 best ladies' rooms in the country, by the way. I have been in all 5 of them. I know where they are. Notre Dame was the hardest to pull off. But she said they were in the ladies' room in side-by-side stalls, kind of talking back and forth. And there were other people in the room. And, you know, so there's some conversation going on, which there is in a ladies'
room. Uh-huh.
And the daughter said, "Dad, I think that dress looks absolutely scrumptious on you."
Oh, dear.
And Dad said there was immediate silence in the room.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards said, "You know, I love that you still call me Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't do that in public anymore.
Right.
People will not understand."
Right.
So there it worked.
Yeah.
I came out to my son, oh Lord, officially, just before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
They said, "You know, there's something you probably need to discuss with your wife, future wife, if you want to, because I need to know what she knows."
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up with the attitude, and I treated him with the attitude that I was a boy in a household once. There wasn't anything went on in a household I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Your children know.
Yeah. Right.
Even if your wife doesn't.
Right. Interesting. I tend to agree. So I suspect that in this case, a cross-dresser is usually torn between the desire to protect his children on the one hand and the negative effects of his deceit on the other. Is that right?
Yeah. That's a hard... It is a terrible issue that cross-dressers go through.
Yeah.
How do you tell them?
Yeah. And when?
And when? And why?
My age.
And how far do you go? And, you know, do you confront them? I didn't want to do it because by the time, I mean, let's face it, when I started, nobody knew what this was all about. They put you in institutions.
Right.
And by the time I got to the point where I was open and out about it and comfortable, my kid was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
He's got enough hormone problems without
mm-hmm.
trying to figure out what
mm-hmm.
to do with the dad who wears a dress
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we both loved to swing dance, and he was really into it, and I knew all the swing dance disc jockeys in town, and I know we have been, he and Deborah have been on the same dance floor.
Ah, no kidding.
More than once. I always somehow managed to deal with it.
Right. Where ought a cross-dresser look for support?
The internet makes it so easy.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have to go hide little cards in the card index at the library.
Oh, no kidding.
Under cross-dressing
and
drag queen and transvestite.
Oh.
So that people could find us.
Oh, how interesting.
The support groups are there. There's two or three in Seattle for any form of cross-dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Gender Odyssey, Emerald City, Transpace, which I run, which is a home away from home for cross-dressers who don't have a closet extra in their
interesting.
Home. They can rent one from us.
Get out.
The landlord's going, this works. doesn't make any money, but it works.
Oh, how great.
So they're all those formal things are there. If you want help with makeup, go to the makeup counter at Macy's.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. The girls, they love it. They'll take care of you, no end. Mm-hmm. Go to a Merle Norman studio. They're small. They'll put you in a little space by yourself, and they'll teach you all you need to know about makeup. Don't ask your girlfriend. She doesn't know a damn thing about makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows enough to get by made doing herself. That's all mm-hmm. she ever learned.
Mm-hmm.
You want clothes? I jokingly said give your credit card to a personal shopper at Nordstrom's. I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take good care of you, and they'll dress you appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Emerald or to Esprit in Port Angeles if you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the web, too. We'll spend a whole week teaching you how to do it.
Right.
That's all we're about.
Yeah.
Those things are available all over the country.
Mm-hmm. How wonderful. I'm so grand. It's really great.
I'm going to throw one other thing in.
Okay.
If you're really having problems with it, all that good stuff is how to do it successfully.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a problem with it, go seek professional help.
Mm-hmm.
But the first question is, do you know anything about transgendered behavior?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't give you a complete, truthful, yes, I know all about it answer, then go find somebody else.
You're talking about that's the professional who needs
yes.
to answer that question. So
yes,
true.
Because I have
so
spent
true.
More money educating psychiatrists.
Right. So true. And that was one of the questions that I've been asking everybody in this series is, how do you find kink-positive professionals, healing and helping professionals?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a really important thing to me because I sometimes see people who have spent good deals of time, years in fact, and tons of money, working with, you know, repressed and uninformed professionals, and they finally find me, and they are just like, oh, what a joy.
And I don't like to include us in kink, but I will. You know, to me, kink is sexy and fun. It involves ropes and chains and all that other good stuff. Maybe three or four people, you know, whatever.
You are a perv.
Whatever happens. I know Lady Lydia. Come on. and I assume you know what
yes.
she does. Besides take her clothes off in public. But most people think that this subject must be covered in school, and it isn't.
Mm-hmm. It is not.
It's not.
It
it's
is not
there.
Not.
You can
or
a
if it is, it's always presented as a pathology.
Yeah.
Something needs to be cured or gotten over. And
yeah.
certainly will be the destruction of a personality if it's not.
I had one psychiatrist who gave me a complete and long and detailed lecture on the human anatomy, female anatomy, and how it worked. And it was a really interesting class. I was really glad. It was better than health,
uh-huh.
much better than mom and dad, and
uh-huh.
certainly more accurate than Playboy. But had nothing to do with what we were talking
right.
about.
Exactly. Yeah.
He thought it did, but
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
So you need to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You just seek them out, and you need to ask. You
right.
would ask a plumber if they were any good. You
right.
would research your car dealer before you bought a car.
Right.
So, you know, research your professional also. Right.
Well, I want to thank you for spending so much of your precious time with us, and you are totally amazing. I mean, not just for what you do, but who you are and how you live your life and how you interact with others who cross-dress and are transgendered, but the rest of society as well. And myself and my audience, our audience, is in your debt. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And we hope to be seeing some of those sites that you mentioned and possibly visiting them in the interim. Thanks again, Deborah.
Thank you.
Great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute sort of deal. Remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh?
No more hangers!
Yikes, you got it bad, and that ain't good. Look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good and good sex? Ha, that's even better. Over and out.